Brooks Running has a new shoe for you runners out there. Did you hear that? Better turn up your volume. In fact, turn it up to the max. Introducing the all-new Ghost Max. It's got all kinds of things to make your knees and ankles feel protected, like Max Cushion, Max Soft Landings with DNA Loft V2 Foam, and Max Smooth Rides with their Glide Roll Rocker. Feel better on your run with Ghost Max. Learn more at brooksrunning.com.
This episode is brought to you by Undeniably Dairy. Dairy farmers are more than farmers. They're climate caretakers. They see water as a precious resource. Most farmers recycle water up to 4 times, from chilling the milk to irrigating the crops. And some even use technology to turn manure into renewable energy. To learn more about what dairy farmers are doing to make their farms more sustainable, visit usdairy.com.
Hey, you are listening to the Oh Crap Potty Training Podcast. I am your host, Jamie Glowacki, and I am the author of Oh Crap Potty Training and Oh Crap, I Have a Toddler. So today we're going to jump in with a Q&A. Before we get started, I do want to say an interesting thing. I don't know if you guys follow me on Instagram or not, but people are getting quite demanding that I answer specifics about their situation. I work really hard. This is the only podcast dedicated to potty training, and I work really, really hard at putting a bunch of content out there that is questions that are asked or frequently asked or in the same realm, and I'm really trying to give you guys the resources. So I love that Oh Crap is popular, but I don't have time to answer all of the questions. I really don't. And I know that you may think you're the only person with this question, but chances are you're not. Literally, I give prizes to people if they come up with a new question that I haven't heard. And I haven't given a prize in a really long time. So please, 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 please use these resources. I'm not putting them out there for my benefit. It's for you guys, okay? So let's jump in with some questions. I potty trained my almost 3.5-year-old son over the school break last week. It was our third attempt after reading Oh Crap, albeit a little late. And this time he really got it and is doing great. He's been in underwear since last Thursday without any accidents, went to school today and yesterday and did great. He's been really happy in that regard and proud of himself. My question is all his other behavior. He is having meltdowns 24/7, refusing to eat, being downright mean, lots of tantrums, etc. Is this because of the potty training adjustment? All his behavioral issues have nothing to do with the potty, but it's the only thing that changed. So I'm wondering if that's something you've seen before. So this is from Rachel. So Rachel, yes, I have seen this before. And this is in no way, shape or form meant to shame or blame you or guilt you. One of the problems of potty training past 3 is that a child hits a process called individuation. Now, when a child recognizes that they can have control of their own bodily functions, they suddenly think that they can control everything. And so behavior can get wonky. It could be coincidentally that at 3.5, he really would be starting this individuation process. And that's when a child realizes they're separate from you and that they have some control. And that's when the age of no and free will and choice and like contrary behavior really kicks in. Not being potty trained could have delayed this individuation a little. So being potty trained is an autonomous thing. You are in control of your own body and that feels really good. And now you recognize that you have this control. So I would say it's like coincidental. It's not that potty training caused it. It's that you gave him the gift of autonomy and spurred the individuation process. In a younger child, it's very often, especially in the first couple of weeks, it's sheer exhaustion. Potty training is, it's hard work. It's a lot of learning. It's a lot of paying attention to things they never had to pay attention to. And it is a linear process of learning. So everything up until potty training tends to be like open-ended learning, right? Like who cares how you stack the blocks? You stack the blocks, right? There's no one desirable outcome for the blocks. Walking, we have a lot of patience with walking. We have a lot of patience with the milestone of walking and falling down. But in the beginning, it's not like there's this huge outcome. The child still can ambulate without walking, right? Like, so, they can crawl. So it's not like there's only one path and it's walking and that's the only way you can get somewhere. Potty training, there's only one desirable outcome. And so it's like this real linear process, even though within that linear process, there can be a bit of a cha-cha, right? There can be a couple of steps forward and then a step back. But it's like, has one desirable outcome. And that form of teaching and that form of learning is going to be how your child learns once they enter school and academics. But this is the first time they've had that kind of learning. So it can be exhausting. I would generally just, you know, hold your boundaries and recognize, especially like after school, potty training at school, there could be even more of the after school restraint collapse, which is held it all together for school and now they're not. So it's really tough when your child is exhausted and showing crappy behavior because you want to like hold your boundaries, but you also want to kind of be flexible about like, when do they just need a hug? When do they just need cuddles? You know? So that's what I would say about that. There is often the first few weeks of potty training, again, because of all those things I've mentioned, that we can see an uptick in some like not desirable behavior, but it does level out. Okay, so we gathered a bunch of questions. So I'm not going to answer a specific question, but a large amount of questions come in about prior attempts at potty training. And people, because you've had a few attempts at potty training that maybe didn't go well, you might then get your hands on my book. And a lot of people think that they can skip phases in the process because they had some attempts that may have gone well, may not have gone well. If you have had prior attempts at potty training and you got my book, I am going to say, well, a couple of things. We get questions about people who don't seem to know I have a book. Read my book because there is a chapter in the book about prior attempts at potty training. The other thing is don't skip parts of the process. So please remember that my book was written with my experience and my starting point to my end point. So if you tried somebody else's method that didn't work or somebody else's philosophy, or you were just winging it, I don't know how to fix that. And in fact, if I took you on as a private client, I would make you start at the beginning. I need to see what it looks like at the beginning. And parents will be often like, well, we've been at this 3 weeks. Why would I start at the beginning? Because I need to see what it looks like at the beginning. And the very beginning is block one, which is pee and poop in the potty with prompting or without. If your child with no pants on, if your child can't do that, you can't go back to, you know, you can't go to block two. So my book was written in a very specific manner of progression. And so whatever went wrong that you have prior attempts, you should start at the beginning of my process. And I don't say that to waste your time. It's just everything else is going to be difficult. And I know this because people come to me after many attempts, they get my book, they'll drop in the middle of the process, but I don't know where it went wrong. So I need to go to the beginning so we can see where is the glitch in learning? Where is the glitch in behavior? So just know that, like, you can't skip the, you can skip the processes, but I won't be able to help you even in person because I know how to fix my method. I don't know how to fix other people. I don't even know what's out there. People will ask me, how do you compare to so-and-so? And it's like, I don't take so-and-so's course or I don't read so-and-so's book. I am quite busy with all my own people. Okay. Let's see. Child who refuses to pee. This is Katya and she's night training. This child refuses to pee at night during sleepy pee time, but then pees the bed 10 minutes later. So this is a conundrum about children in general starting potty training. And this is a conundrum at nighttime is just because a little one tells us they don't have to pee right now doesn't mean they don't have to pee in 5 minutes. So if this is the consistent pattern, a lot of times what happens is you waking them, and I want to reiterate, because this is even coming up with some private clients, the nighttime pees are not waking. Your child's not an active participant in this. We're literally helping them catch the pee and teaching the unconscious lesson that you can wake up with the feeling to go pee. But in the beginning, literally, we're catching pee for them. We're helping them make it through the night while their bladder gets accustomed to holding it longer, okay? Don't wake your kid up like to give them the lesson. Now, if your child does become full awake and struggles to go back to sleep, abandon night training. Sleep trumps potty training. So if you have one of those kids who's wide awake for an hour because you tried to get a sleepy time pee, just hold off for a little while because it's really challenging to keep it together during the day when they're missing out on sleep at night. So I don't mess around with that. Generally speaking, most kids do just kind of, they're kind of like wet spaghetti. They're a little out of it. That's the state you want them on. You keep the potty chair in the bed, you pee them, and they go back to sleep. Now, if if once in a while you wake them up and they pee the bed 10 minutes later, then, you know, that's kind of a crapshoot, right? But if this is the consistent pattern that refuses the bed, what you might be doing is reminding them when you do the sleepy time pee, it might serve as the reminder that they have to pee. It goes kind of in their unconscious. They go back to sleep and then they're like, right, I got to pee. And then they pee the bed. So what I would do if it's really that small of a time, I would say, just stick around, you know, wake them, maybe even just do a very, say, hey, it's time to pee. They say, no. Okay, great. I'm gonna stay here for 10 minutes. Just let them know and then get them again in 10 minutes. Yeah. And again, if that's the consistent pattern. We bought your pooping solutions course and just completed day 5 of the suppository protocol. I have a question about the off-suppository days. Do we still offer poop time in the morning or do we let the child lead us and tell us where they need to go? On the days off, so much of this depends on like if the child's in school or not, but I always offer, and if your child's resisting that, you can do the sort of throwaway prompt that I talk about in the book. That's kind of like a drive-by. It's just like, hey, your potty's there if you need to poop, and then get out of Dodge. The only reason they're resisting you is because you're sticking around waiting for the show. So if you just do a drive-by prompt, and this works for pee too, with like, you know, after you've been potty training for a couple of weeks where you still have to prompt your kid, they kind of know what they're doing, but they're not really reliable yet. And they kind of want to take charge of the process, but they're not always remembering. You just do these drive-bys, you know, oh, there's your potty. Don't forget to use it and get out of Dodge. If you stick around and lock horns and you get a power struggle, just let go of your end of the rope, right? Like then just wait. It's ideal to wait for a child who has the sensation to poop. Without a suppository, the kid's not going to have the sensation to poop necessarily the way they did on your on-suppository day. So what you really need to do is wait for that sensation. And that's what we're looking for, the sensation, the anus opens and they release. Anybody listening to this, for a very, very long time, I hesitated to do any questions about the poop course. I really did because there is a suppository protocol. We utilize 3 tools in getting a poop and getting over this anxiety. You must take this course because I say the word suppository on this podcast or you see it on Instagram and then you say, never mind, I know how to deal with this. No, you don't. It's a very specific protocol and you need to take my course. So I'm very strict about this and I'm happy to answer questions now, but I don't want people to think that you know it all because you're hearing me answer these questions. Okay. There's a very specific protocol. So yeah, so I would wait for the child to have the sensation is the short answer. Now, this gets very tricky if the child's in full-time daycare, and I would recommend a consult because a lot of this has to be personalized to your schedule and what's going on for the child. And there's so many variations. There's just no way I could answer that fully. All right. I've answered this before, but shoot, since we're still in the zone of sickness, let's do it again. When your child gets sick in the first few days of potty training, and also when you're months into potty training and your child gets bad diarrhea. I cannot tell you the amount of times a child gets sick on the second day of potty training. And it really sucks when we've scheduled time, you know, like I'm working with a private client because then we have to kind of reschedule. And I know for you guys, you might be taking time off of work or extending a holiday or something like that. So if your child gets sick in the first couple of days of potty training, it really, really depends on the sickness. So if it looks mild, if your child's kind of hanging in there, you can try to stay afloat. Generally speaking, I say re-diaper. Just because when you're sick, it is so challenging. And I think I just said this last podcast, but I have had several colds since Thanksgiving, really. I seem to have just caught every cold that comes through the air. And it is shocking to me how long it takes before it manifests as a full sickness and how long it takes to get over it. And I am a hyper organized person. I'm really good. Like my to-do list always gets done. I'm very, very pragmatic. I fix things in the moment. I file things in the moment. I'm very, very organized. And I can't get my shit together when I'm getting sick and I might not even know it. You know, like you don't have the full blown, you know, stuffed nose or cough. it's just like this fog. And then you have a couple of days where it's really bad, you know, you're coughing. I've had some bad coughs this winter. And then as I'm getting better, it's not till I hit a day where I'm like, oh my God, I'm back. I can do everything, right? That I recognize how foggy I was, even getting better. So no matter what the sickness, I want to afford kids that grace and that luxury of like, you're just thick-headed, like foggy when you're getting sick and getting over sick. And it's just not the time to learn this new skill. This is a big milestone and it's a big skill. So I just think like, let's give everything, you know, let's do everything in our power to really, really, really support our kids.
Vaginas are absolute magic. And Ollie is here to give them the respect they deserve. That means shame-free supplements made with clinically studied ingredients to keep your pH in check and your pleasure a priority. Put yourself on top. Go to Ollie.com today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's in this. Now, it could be that you're weeks into potty training or months into potty training and your kid gets diarrhea. Use a diaper. You have to. And mostly the kids will agree because they know it's coming too fast. And you just tell them, look, honey, you do such a good job. We gotta, you know, mommy would wear a diaper if I had diarrhea too. When it's that uncontrollable, you gotta do what you gotta do. Pascal got really, really sick. He had like, my family, we're not pukers. Like we get diarrhea when we get sick. Like that's sort of our family thing. And it's bad. And so Pascal caught something. I'd say we were about 4 weeks into potty training and it started. I had a white rug. It wasn't a nice rug, but it was white. And he was like, oh, no. I know. He started to get like lethargic, right? And so I had him on the couch and I think we were like watching Curious George or something. And I had him in a blanket and it all of a sudden I felt wetness, you know? And I thought he peed. And it was diarrhea. And when I tell you, it hit every fold of this blanket. And so I just carried him whole to the bathtub, like blanket and all. And I was like, oh, bud. And it was just, you know, sick diarrhea, just so stinky, like teething diarrhea. Washed him off, got him in the living room. I was drying him off. And I said, buddy, your poop's coming really, really fast. I think we have to put a diaper on you. And oh, I used to potty like a big boy. He was like freaking out. And right then, it came again on the white carpet all over me. Like I had to go back to the bathtub. And then I was like, bud, we're wearing a diaper. Sorry, you got to put this on. And so we ended up doing that and it was fine. It was just for a day or two. But if that happens, you diarrhea is just nasty. But two, you just don't want your child, like that's undignified, just a diarrhea in their pants. Not when we have a diaper that can contain it. And honestly, if I had uncontrollable diarrhea, I would, you know, go buy some Depends too. Like I'm not about to just have diarrhea in my pants. So yeah, that's totally appropriate. And then as soon as they feel a little better, especially with those stomach viruses, those tend to be shorter lived than the colds. So if they have a stomach virus, you know, just wait for the puking and the diarrhea to stop and slow down and you can go back to it. And then ear infections. This year has been ear infections. Oh my goodness. It's been crazy. So ear infections, the same thing. Ear infections are very, very, very painful. So oftentimes they can cause a lot of accidents too. And that will be almost the first sign sometimes for some people is like cluster accidents almost. And then I'll always say like, hey, have you checked for an ear infection? And just recently I called 3 ear infections that the parents weren't even aware of that till they went to the doctor. So I thought that was pretty wild because I know when Pascal would get an ear infection, he could tell immediately. He'd be like in pain in his jaw and we would know. If you can catch it, by the way, he had an ear infection that was so bad, you know, we needed the antibiotics and then you can use garlic oil. And I found that if you can catch it super early, the garlic oil is really effective. Once it gets to a certain point, you need the antibiotics because you don't actually need the antibiotics, but your child is in so much pain that it helps. Antibiotics strip the gut and can really affect poop both ways. It can become watery or it can become hard. So just kind of keep an eye on that and know, you know, you might need a diaper if it's watery or you might need a little stool softener and some good like Greek plain yogurt or something like that to sort of repopulate the flora, the gut flora there. But ear infections, what I have found is typically the antibiotics work really fast and the trial's pretty good even before your round of antibiotics runs out. So I always, you know, say jump back in if that's good for you guys time-wise. The kid who sits forever, the kid who has to sit so he can read a book, the kid who has to sit so he can play with the tablet. And then these are all variations. And then I'll read an actual question. So this is from Nadine and it says, I have a daughter who is 2 and 3 months. My husband and I listened to your audiobook. Today's day 3 of potty training. What do we need to do when our child doesn't want to get up from the potty seat? She pees in the baby Bjorn potty seat and the paw small potty insert on the toilet, but she doesn't want to get up. Pooped in the toilet on day 1 only. She has no problems being left alone on the potty seat. The baby Bjorn potty seat is also in the bathroom. We leave her alone in the bathroom so she has privacy. And yesterday she spent 90% of the day on the potty. And since this morning, she just wants to sit on the potty. When she's on the potty, most of the time she pretends to read a book to herself and sometimes plays with stickers. I don't understand why she just wants to sit on the potty all day long. Today we're going to give her a coconut milk shake and hopefully she will drink it so she can poop. Okay, so the kid who doesn't want to get up from the potty almost only happens in the first week of potty training. It's new. They may be uncertain. Now, if it's your firstborn, you want to be cautious of perfectionistic tendencies. And I say firstborn because I really only see this in firstborn kids. That you can get perfectionistic and not want to make a mistake. So the first thing is we don't want to be like freaking out about accidents or really, you know, we don't want to, it's not like when a kid is in the first week of potty training, we don't want to say it's okay to them, right? Like we talked about that in another podcast. We don't want to be like, oh, it's okay. But we do want to say, hey, accidents sometimes happen. We're going to put pee and poop on the potty next time. Yes. So we also don't want to be like, oh my God, you peed. Because in the first week of potty training, it's not even really an accident. It's just like data collection. It's like something happened, right? And so we're just learning. We're learning alongside our children. And so sometimes excessive sitting on the potty is because the child doesn't want to make a mistake. So be aware, and you probably would know this if this is your kid, and this was my kid, nervous learner, erases things till the paper's gone, doesn't like to make mistakes. You will know if your child's pretty perfectionistic, so you have to go extra easy on like reprimands or things like that. So in the first couple of days of potty training, I would just let it go because it's boring. Like they're on there because they like it. It's new, something like that. If she's spending 90% of her day, I would definitely be like, no, 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 no. You got to get up. Now, is she having difficulty pooping? Because that throws a wrench into the system. So she may be having the sensation to go poop and not feeling like she can release it. So that could be constipation or a little withholding. But since you're in day 3, I wouldn't be quick to pathologize it at all. I wouldn't call it anything yet, except maybe a little performance anxiety. So I think the coconut milkshake was a good idea. Also, don't be afraid in those first few days. If you don't get a poop or your child seems struggling, you know, just a little dose of Miralax, a little dose of Ex-Lax, something to get it moving. It's so much better to just give them a little medical assist in the beginning and solve the problem before it becomes a bigger problem. And other than that, I would just leave her alone. The only time I've ever seen, so Pascal went through something like that. He had severe constipation and it wasn't constipation. He had the sensation to go poop and he was on the toilet almost all day and he'd get up and then he'd get right back on. And so I knew something was up and my mom, it was so funny because my mom, this was before I had like tons of experience, right? And so my mom said, you know, put your Vaseline, your pinky and put it up his bum because sometimes the poop gets stuck. And I was like, what? So I did. And sure enough, it was like a gumball machine in there. And there was like one nugget poop that was sort of like blocking, you know, like got stuck in the canal, so to speak, right? And so once I dislodged that with like, again, just my pinky finger and a little Vaseline and all the little gumdrops, nugget poops came out and then he was able to poop. So I'm not suggesting you put your pinky up your child's butt. In fact, I had to go in and tell his preschool teacher because I was like, oh, this is one of those things a kid's going to say out of context and I'm going to get arrested. So, but it does indicate that there could be something up, and very often those nugget poops do end up getting trapped in they get stuck in the rectum and the anus can't open. So, be aware of that. And so that's what I would look for, Nadine, is I would say like, is she on here because she's having a sensation? Now at that point too, if like, I don't really care if a kid's on the potty. It's new. It's exciting. They're proud of themselves. She's not bugging you. So that, you know, she's not asking that you be in. So it's not interrupting your day. So, you know, I take care of the constipation. I don't know that I'd have a kid in the bathroom all day. That just kind of seems like, yeet. You know, I would maybe put the potty chair in the kitchen and be like, hey, just come out. And, you know, you don't have to be in the bathroom all day. Just come out here. And if you need to sit on the potty out here, you can. Whenever our kids start to do something weird, it's best to just like really skim over it, because kids get weird. Guys, kids get weird about the weirdest things. And I call it going in sideways. And I don't know why it happens, but I've seen kids get weird about anything, just anything. So if it seems like she's got some weird thing going on with the potty chair, just make light of it and kind of incorporate it into your life. So like I said, no, honey, we're not going to stay in the bathroom all day, but here, I'll just keep the potty chair out here and you can use it if you need to. And that way it's not a big deal. And whatever she's got going on, you can sort of coast through it. Now for other kids, when the kid who sits forever, the kid who asks to sit so he can read a book, the kid who asks to sit so he can play with the tablet, we can utilize the iPad in certain situations. I do not encourage you to use the iPad on the potty unless specifically directed by me if we're working together. And typically that is only, I only use an iPad if a child is a severe withholder, we're really working through an anxiety, and the iPad helps the child relax and things get done. I have never seen a child not learn how to manipulate the iPad use within hours. And it will be very hard for you to ascertain your child's actual signals. It will be very hard to ascertain if they are indeed self-initiating, if they are using the tablet for potty time and they're using their pee call for tablet time. It gets very, very murky. So I say don't even introduce it from the beginning. You don't need it. And even if you think it relaxes your child, hold off judgment till you determine that your child really, really needs help relaxing. There are so many other things we can help a child relax with. Water flowing, horse lips, blow bubbles. Put your hand on their lower back and have them try to breathe into your hand. Singing some songs just so they get some breath going so those pelvic muscles can loosen a little bit. The problem with the iPad, again, is it becomes a manipulative tool right away, and the child learns that, and you will just have a really hard time. And you will have a kid who wants to sit forever, or a kid that says, I have to poop. There are kids who can squeeze out a little bit of pee and a little nugget of poop just to prove to you that they had to go. We don't want them squeezing out pee or poop. That's going to mess with their pelvic floor. So really, I stay away from it for potty training. And I'm not against tablet use at all. I might be the only person out there who thinks technology isn't blowing our kids out of the water. But not for potty training. You'll just screw yourself and you won't know their signals, and it will end up, you'll end up fighting. It's the same thing with rewards. You'll end up fighting about the tablet and not even about potty training. So it's just not worth it. Again, a kid who just sits forever but can be entertained themselves, I would put the potty chair, like I said to Nadine, I would put it out in the living room or the kitchen or something and just be like, dude, it's right here. Like, you don't have to be concerned about it. It's always going to be near you, okay? Just relax. But usually it's just the novelty of it. And then there's the child who sits and wants to be read to. So you have to separate out the reading from the potty. So if your child is staying on the potty for more stories, what they're clearly saying is, I want more stories. So have a limit. I usually recommend 3 books, you know, short books, not super lengthy picture books. And have the child say, no, I'm reading 3 stories. If your poop hasn't come, let's go read a story in the living room. We can always come back to the potty. So you just don't want to be stuck in the bathroom or at the potty chair because your child just wants to read stories. You can read stories anywhere. And a lot of times, what happens, and I talk about this a lot in my other podcast, is we're with our kids all the time. Once you have a child, every single freaking thing you do is for your child. Even working out, it's so that you can be a better parent, right? So you can have more patience. All our food prep, every part of our day, maybe even if you're at work, maybe you get a few hours where you're not thinking about your child, but you immediately start thinking about your child and what's happening in your house and, you know, clothing and parenting philosophies and food and meal plan. You're just thinking about all these things constantly. So oftentimes we think we're connecting with our child when we're not connecting with them. They're just on our mind. And so make sure that your child has some good quality connection. Again, that's in my toddler book and on my other parenting podcast. We talk about connection all the time. You know, if you feel like you haven't, your child should be getting some connecting time that is child-led, where they get to boss you around. It's whatever they want to do. And this could be 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but they need that one-on-one time with you. Particularly if you are both working outside the home, you got to come home and connect. And some of that is with roughhousing and wrestling, so they get compression and they get some big play in. And so that child is saying they want connection. And if you're a stay-at-home parent, it can be really easy, again, to think, the hell, I'm with this kid all day long. Of course I'm connecting. But so often we're not. We're with the kid, but we're cleaning, we're doing dishes, we're making food, we're driving, we might be engaged with them. We all do it, the half-assed engagement, right? Like you're in the car and you're like, yeah, right? Sometimes our kids are so annoying to us that we kind of emotionally run from them. We don't want to, like, I hated playing. I hated, like when kids ask me to play house or they want to play pretend. I always hated that. Like, I want to build stuff. I want to get, like, glue guns out. And I don't like crafts either, but I do like to build, like, forts with hot glue and duct tape and stuff like that. Like, so you want to make sure that that child is getting that connection point. And if you feel like they are and they're still being really kind of hungry and greedy for these stories on the potty, then make sure you just separate it and say, nope, three. And then say, I got to go cook dinner. You can stay on the potty if you need to, but I'm going to go cook, and let me know if you want to read some stories out on the couch. So just separate it out. All right, guys, I'm going to let you guys go. As always, I super appreciate you, and I appreciate you listening, and rock on.